Thank you, Ina. You can all be seated. I know we're kind of changing things up on y'all tonight, so it's okay. We'll get through it. Hey, would you all turn with me to John chapter 3? I recognize that I've been asking you all to turn to John chapter 3 for a few weeks now. And I would suspect that most of us would figure that since tomorrow is Easter, right, that we would probably be more towards the end of the book of John, right? Or the end of one of the other Gospels. But tonight, I really feel like the Lord wants me to share the wonder of the resurrection. And it is a wondrous thing. And I know we say that. My hope is that each one of us, that's going to get into our hearts tonight. At least once a year, where we're in awe and just overwhelmed with the significance of all that the Lord did in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But I want to share that from what is probably, I would suspect, the best known verse in all of Scripture. The most well-known verse in the Bible. It's a verse that probably most every person, it doesn't even matter your background. You've probably heard this verse before. If you haven't, then you probably saw it at a sign at a football game. What verse are we talking about? John 3:16. Very good. Yeah. This is what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Guys, this Easter, this Resurrection Day, I want you to know about something that is so powerful, something that is so great that your life, your entire outlook on life can be totally, absolutely transformed, totally changed. Does that sound good? This transformation that I'm talking about, that John is talking about right here, that we've been singing about, that is the reason we're here tonight, can move you from a place where you feel trapped and hemmed in and without hope to a new place where you have freedom and where you have hope for the future. That isn't just a lark and a prayer, but is genuine hope. This transformation that I'm talking about is so powerful that it can help you overcome any circumstance that you will ever face for the rest of your life. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Josh? I got to keep my kids awake because dad's boring. But did you hear that? This transformation that I'm talking about, I sound like a pitch man, don't I? This transformation that I'm talking about is so powerful that it can help you overcome any circumstance, anything you will ever encounter over the entire course of your life. Now, what's interesting is you cannot buy this. Doesn't come in pretty boxes. Doesn't come shrink wrap. No bows. No nothing. Your doctor will never be able to prescribe this for you. The transformation is not going to be brought about while you're at the gym. Okay? It's not a makeover, extreme or otherwise. It is most definitely not a self-help strategy. This Easter, I want to share with you a very simple message that can change lives forever. And the message isn't mine. Please understand. I just happen to be the guy up here talking. But I want to share with you that message that can change lives. I want to tell you about resurrection power. Have you guys ever heard that phrase before? Josh, have you heard that phrase before? Resurrection power. And that resurrection power is found in only one place. It is found only in knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. It's the only place you'll find it. You see, what I want us to realize this evening is that it's more than just knowing about Jesus. It's more than just knowing what He did on that first Easter and how He died and how He rose again. I mean, you do realize, right, that all over the world, millions of people today and tomorrow, they're all going to church, right? That's what people do at Easter. Well, Christmas too. But, you know, that's what they do. And the churches will be more full than they normally are all over the world. And they're going to hear that message, right? Hopefully. They're going to hear that message of the crucifixion of Christ and His resurrection from the dead. And many of those people, they know what Jesus did. They know who He is. Many of them will even believe that He is the Son of God. But guys, you know what? Many of them will walk out of those services exactly the same as when they walked in. No different. No change. No transformation. What I want you to know this evening, what I want to remind you of perhaps this evening, is that you can experience the living, resurrected God in your life. And I say that to Christians and non-Christians alike. Because I know very well from my own life that there are times when I am not experiencing Him. And I am not experiencing His power. Not because He left, not because He's on vacation, not because He's busy with more important people. But because I walked away. As we have already seen, as we have gone verse by verse through the Gospel of John, finishing last week with verse 15, we've seen over and over again that you will only experience what I am talking about if you will first humble yourself. Humble yourself and invite Jesus to come into your life and to forgive your sins by His blood. That's where it begins. That is where it starts. Now, I know that in some ways I'm kind of preaching to the choir, because I know most of you, many of you, you've taken this step. But guys, if we reminded ourselves of this very thing every single day for the rest of our lives, it wouldn't be enough. We need to remember this. And when we do that, when we have taken that step, you know what happens to us? We move. Excuse me. We move from being, as Scripture says, dead in our transgressions. Dead in sin. We are moved from that to where we are, as Scripture says, alive in Christ. And my point tonight is that is more than a positional thing. It is. He comes and changes you. You were dead and now you're alive. What I'm saying is, there's more that accompanies that we should experience day in and day out in our lives because of that transformation. When that takes place, man, we should be knowing the transforming power of God in our hearts and in our lives. For those of you here tonight who you've already taken that step, but perhaps you no longer feel that resurrection life daily at work in you, maybe there's a whole lot of other things that are far more important to you than the Lord. I just say it as it is. If that's where you're at tonight, I want you to know that what I'm talking about is still available for you. It's still available if you will, again, humble yourself and seek after the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. To begin service this evening, just a few minutes ago, I began by reading a section of Scripture that is going to be read all over the place, all over the world right about now and tomorrow, right? Absolutely. And it's an account that has been read for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, there are so-called scholars who will tell you and try to deceive you into believing that the resurrection never happened. That it never took place. You've probably seen the commercials this week, right? Yeah? They always pop up around Easter, man. Telling us how Jesus never rose from the dead and how none of those things ever took place. They have all kinds of theories, and I'm just going to be real blunt with you. Theories they've made up out of thin air. Period. They do not hold weight to any rational, logical person that looks at the evidence. They do not hold weight. Now, I'm not here to debate with you. I've never seen anyone debated into the kingdom of God. That's the Holy Spirit's work. But the truth is what the truth is. There is more scientific, historical, archaeological evidence that Jesus lived, died on a cross, and rose again on the third day than we have of the life and death of any other historical person. At all. The evidence that we have on Jesus is unmatched. Now, some people will still reject that. They'll still say, nope, don't want it. But the fact is, the evidence is unmatched. Let me put it a different way. Our first president, you kind of all know, Jeffrey, who's our first president? Yes, my kids are here. I get to pester them. George Washington, our first president, right? Now, how many of you have had the opportunity this week to spend time with George first person, face to face? Anyone? Oh, brother. This is my incorrigible daughter. Right? None of us. None of you had the wonderful opportunity to hang out with George this week. Okay, how many of you have ever seen George Washington in person? No, none of us, right? So let me ask you, how do you know he ever lived? How do you know that he existed? Now, that's not a rhetorical question. It should have an answer, right? Why do we know? Well, we know we have written history, do we not? We have written history. We have some physical evidence from over 200 years ago. I have a suspicion he's got a house floating around somewhere that you could actually visit. You know? We have the eyewitness accounts of people that actually saw him, talked to him. We have oral traditions about George Washington that are passed down through our families. You know, my parents told me some, and I tell my kids some. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of us here tonight would dispute that George Washington ever lived, right? No. Well, guys, I can tell you with confidence that the evidence that we have that Jesus lived and died and rose again would dwarf the evidence that we have that George Washington ever lived. If we're just talking about evidence. Now, I suspect that most of us here tonight, we're not going to debate those facts. We're not going to debate these things. But I want to remind us all again, particularly for those of us who are believers. I want to remind us all that our Christian faith is not based on a bunch of fairy tales. It is based on a real person in history who did the things that the Bible says he did. Not only that, but the resurrection had an effect on the very first people that knew about it, didn't it? You want to talk about transformation? It had a profound, world-changing effect on those first disciples. I mean, you remember those disciples, don't you? Right? These are the guys who were denying Jesus. These are the guys who, just, with the exception of maybe one of them, just kind of scattered as soon as he was arrested. These are the same disciples who were huddled in little rooms, hiding out from the Romans and hiding out from the Jews. I mean, let's just put it very bluntly. They were scared to death that somebody would find them, that somebody was going to kill them like they had just seen Jesus killed. And guys, there's only one explanation for the difference that we see in the lives of those first disciples. Where they went, forgive me, where they went from hiding out in their homes to being men and women who literally turned the Roman Empire upside down because of their testimony and because of their faith. Why did that transformation happen? Why did that change take place? They weren't hiding anymore, right? They weren't hiding anymore. In fact, all but one of them, our author, John the Apostle, spilled their blood for the cause of their risen Savior. They didn't go quietly into the night. They suffered. They were tortured for their faith. And they died for their faith. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I saw my best friend up on a cross, mangled, unrecognizable from the whip, a spear stabbed through his side and into his heart, dead. And then 3 days later, I realize that he's risen from the dead. And why do I know that? Because he came to my house and he showed me the nail marks. Guess what? I'm going to be changed. Yes? I'm going to be just a bit different than I was the day before. And can I tell you something this evening? When you encounter the living Jesus, and when you give your life to Him, there is going to be a change. There's going to be a change. New life. And guys, I am not talking metaphorical. I'm talking actual. New life will be poured into your soul. New hope will be restored in your heart. Your priorities in life will get in order. When you encounter the living Christ, you will, and you begin to realize that your mission in life is to live for Him, not all that other stuff. But live for Him, that is going to radically change your perspective on things. Or it should. Right? Your family. Your job. Your friends. Your hobbies. Your money. Your dreams. All of these things. Everything in life comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It now belongs to Him to direct and lead as He chooses. And when you and He becomes the number one thing in your life, and when you encounter the living God, He's going to make wholesale changes in you. Now, I understand most of you are believers here tonight. So let me ask you a question. How many of you can say that the Lord has changed you since the day you first came to Him? How many of you? That's good. That's pretty important, actually. Because, you know, the book of James in the New Testament, probably most of you have read it because it's kind of a short one. But the book of James says that if we are truly saved, if the Holy Spirit truly dwells within us, then there will be something that is evident in our life, right? Fruit. Not apples, oranges, and grapes. But evidence of a change. Outward evidence of something that changed in us. Matter of fact, James gets real radical on us and goes so far as to say that if you have no fruit, there's reason to doubt the change. There's reason to doubt the salvation. He changes us. He transforms us. And He wants to make wholesale changes in you. Now, I'll be real honest. Perhaps, like me, when you start hearing about God wanting to change you, that might make you a bit nervous. Right? Most of us don't care much for change, especially when it hits real close to home for us. I'm the same way. But you know what? You don't have to worry. This is so cool. You don't even have to worry because He is going to help you make those changes. God does not come and rescue you, save you by the blood of His Son, and then say, okay, Tony, now shape up and fly right. Prove that you are now my child. He doesn't do that. He comes into our lives and then He says, I'm going to change you. I'm going to finish the work that I started on that day when I saved you. And I will finish it every single day up until the day when you stand before me and I say, it is finished. That's God's promise to you and to me. That's good stuff. But it all involves change. And even better than that, you know what God says? He says that He will change your desires to His desires. So in other words, He's going to change you so that you desire the things He wants to change in you. And the places He wants you to go and the things He wants you to do. He's going to bring you to the place where you want it to. That's what Scripture tells us. Guys, don't think that to come to the Lord, to come to Jesus Christ, that you have to clean up your life before you make a decision for Him. You don't have to. You don't. And if you're a believer here tonight, but the priorities of your life maybe are not where they're supposed to be. Maybe the priorities of your life have kind of crowded Jesus off to the periphery. Well, the same is true for you. You don't have to fix everything to come back. You know, there was a time in my life when I was in that exact place. I was in outright rebellion against the Lord. And I knew it. I didn't get there by accident. I didn't fall into anything. I did it. I wanted it. I willfully rebelled against the Lord. And what's awesome, now that I look back on it, is I still see that He pursued me every single day. And I remember there were times when I thought in my head, I want to go back. Probably like the prodigal son would say, I want to go back, but it's too hard now. There's these things that I'm doing that I still kind of want to hang on to. Things that were destroying me, but I still kind of wanted to hang on to them. And I had it in my head that I had to clean all that up first. It took a good long while before I realized He just wanted me back. The change, the transformation, He'd do after I got there. Each and every day, in big ways and little ways. The Bible tells us, guys, that we are all sinners, yes? We are all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. The reason it says that is because it's telling us there is a standard, yes? The standard is the glory of God. The standard is the perfect holiness of God. And I fall short of that. Do any of you fall short of that? Any person usually will say, yeah, well, yeah, if you're going to put it that way, yeah, I pretty much fall short of that too. That's the boat that we're all in. In other words, because that's true, you can't scrub yourself up, you can't polish yourself up, you can't do anything to yourself to get you to a place where you qualify on your own. Only the blood of Jesus that we have been singing about tonight. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us and make us holy before a holy Father, a holy God. But Tony, you don't understand. You don't know what I have done. You say you've been in rebellion. Well, it was probably nothing. You don't know where I've been, Tony. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the places I've been, the things I've thought. You don't know what kind of person I've been. Or perhaps you might be thinking, you don't know how far I've strayed from the Savior. You don't know how far away I am. Guys, let me tell you something. Maybe the one thing I love so much about God. He doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care how bad you've been. Oh, don't get me wrong. He doesn't endorse it. But He doesn't care. His love is reaching out to you this evening, no matter your circumstances. Whether you are just on fire for the Lord tonight, His love is reaching out to you. Whether you are a believer, but you are backslidden and not walking with Him, His love's reaching out to you. Whether you have never taken that step of salvation and bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, His love is reaching out to you this evening. It's all the same. He pursues us, does He not? Because of love. As Bruce mentioned and as we sang about. He has never stopped loving you. Even when you ignored Him. Does that do nothing to your heart? Do you realize that there is nobody else on this planet that you can say that about? Even your mom. There's only one who has never stopped loving you. No matter what has gone on in your life and no matter where you are. When Jesus was hanging there on that cross, yes, He was there out of obedience to the Father, right? Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." He was obeying the Father's plan. But the Father's plan, the overarching reality of the Father's plan was this: He loves you. He loves you. And Jesus was on that cross because He loves you. And He was there paying the penalty for your sin. And He was paying the penalty for every sin you've ever done. He's paid the penalty for the sin you're doing right now. I don't know what that would be exactly. And He's paid the penalty for every sin you will ever commit. All of that sin was placed on Jesus as He hung on that cross. As the Father removed His presence from Jesus and punished Jesus. As I mentioned before, Isaiah says that God crushed Him because Jesus became sin for you and He became sin for me. You and I, if we are Christians, we enjoy that. That's us. That's ours. We've been given that. If you do not belong to Jesus Christ, you do not have that. You have not received that forgiveness. Guys, quite literally, there is nothing in your life that surprises Him. It might surprise me, if you told me. It might surprise a lot of people. But it doesn't surprise Him. And despite everything that you have ever done, guess what? John 3:16 still says the exact same thing. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only, His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, shall not die, shall not perish, but shall have life, and life for all of eternity. Whoever. That's a big word. It's a broad word, isn't it? Whoever. Whoever will believe in Jesus. Whoever is anybody and everybody who will. And as we've seen over and over again, as we have gone, most of us have gone through the Gospel of John, you have to believe in Him. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to the Father, but through the One who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You have to believe in Him. You have to put your faith in Him and enter into that covenant relationship, that relationship built on the promises of God. Now, some people might ask, well, what can I expect out of all of this? I mean, what can I look forward to when I give my life to Christ? And I experience this resurrection power in my own life. Maybe as a believer, we need to be reminded again of what we have received. But what can we expect? Well, let me tell you a few things that you can look forward to. And again, let me remind those believers here tonight of what you already have. First of all, The first thing that you get to look forward to is that your name, your own name, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I will not pretend to tell you that I completely understand God's filing system and record-keeping department or any of those sorts of things, but Scripture is very clear in telling us that when we enter into the family of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our name is written in the Book of Life. It's written in the Book of Life. In other words, you will have a place in heaven with God. You will have joined His family. You will be adopted into His family and you will live for eternity with God. As blunt as I can put it, you will gain heaven and you will escape hell. That's what that means. That's one thing you can expect. A second thing that you can expect is that living for Jesus, living for Him day in and day out, gives you hope and a purpose for this life. And while that may sound kind of vague, it's very important. It really is, because the sad truth is, and you've all seen it, maybe you've even seen it in your own life, the sad truth is that people who do not have a purpose in life quickly lose hope. They quickly lose hope. I've even seen Christians who've turned their back on the Lord and rebelled, me being one of them, and see how quickly their loss of purpose in life turns to a lack of hope and despair. As a Christian, you are going to learn that God has a specific plan for your life. Been talking with my oldest son, Josh, back there about life, right? He's at that spot where you have to have that talk with him. You know, what are you going to do in life? What do you want? Where are you going, right? You all remember the conversations, right? A squirrely kind of conversation, but don't you want a purpose in life? The amazing thing is that as a child of God, God's plan becomes your purpose in life. It's not one you have to come up with on your own. Maybe you're great at plan making. I stink at it. Every time I've ever tried to do it myself, I mess it up. But one of the things you can expect as a child of God, as a result of this transformation and this resurrection power in your life, is that you are going to see the plan of God for your life unfold, because He has promised to do so. Yeah, my son doesn't know exactly quite yet what the future's going to look like. But what's really cool is that he belongs to someone who does. And the same is true for you. Same is true for me. If we belong to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've wasted too much of your life. Oh, if I just had all those years back. If I had all that wasted time back. It doesn't matter. God will take you where you are. And He will continue, He will transform you, or He will continue to transform you. And He will use the gifts that He has given you to make a difference where you're at in your life and in the lives of the people around you. Just like He did with the disciples. Exactly like them. No different. The resurrection power that I'm talking about. God's Spirit. His own Spirit living within you will be something that people will not be able to explain in your life. They'll see it, and it'll make a difference. I'm certainly not trying to imply to you that you will be perfect. I think we all know better than that, right? Just because you get saved, or just because the transforming power of God is at work in your life, you know, it doesn't mean that you float about 3 feet off the ground and, you know, you got the halo, and when you go by, people go up. You know, or anything like that. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about here. But despite all of those things, they will see that in you something is different. Because the Spirit of God lives there. The power of God, that resurrection power, lives in you. And I guarantee you that you will be amazed at how God will use you. I guarantee it. Thirdly, finally, the power of God in your life will turn you into something that I can guarantee you every single one of us sitting here tonight wants to be. Every single one of us. The power of God in your life will turn you into what Scripture calls an overcomer. An overcomer. Does anybody here want to be one? Right? You probably already thought of certain situations in your life. Maybe one's going on right now. Where you're thinking, boy, I'd really like to overcome that. Right? We all do. You see, as Christians, we are not promised to be free from problems in our life, are we? I don't care what a bunch of yahoos on TV or the radio or in books say. It doesn't matter. Becoming a Christian does not wipe away your financial debt. There'd be way more Christians if that was true, right? Especially in this economy. It does not wipe away your financial debt. Being a Christian does not mean you'll never be sick. Being a Christian does not mean that you are in some weird magical way going to be insulated from this life. The disciples are very good evidence of that. However, and this is an important however, when those trials come, when those problems and difficulties arise, God's Spirit living in you, that resurrection power that we are talking about, will enable you to be an overcomer. God will help you keep perspective. Have you noticed when you're in the thick of it, perspective is usually the first thing that goes right out the window? Maybe it's just me. God will give us His perspective from His vantage point. God will give you the grace to handle anything that comes your way. God will give you victory. Now there's a great word. God will give you victory. He will make you an overcomer. My question for us all this evening is this. This Easter, what are you going to do with the risen Savior? And my question is to all of us, Christian, non-Christian alike, what are you going to do with Him? What will you do with that message of hope that we've been singing about, that Scripture trumpets so loudly? I want to tell you that what you're looking for can be found right there in John 3:16. John 3:16. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, then you already know that He is. You know it. You see, it's the same Spirit that will live inside you that is drawing you to Him or drawing you back to Him. It's that same Spirit that transformed the lives of the disciples and turned them into world changers. The question is, no matter where you're at this Easter, will you give your life to Jesus? All of it. Lock, stock, and barrel. Every last bit. Because He will transform your life. And He will give you a peace and a hope that you simply cannot find anywhere else. And you know you've been looking for it, right? We're always looking for that stuff. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It may seem like it works for a short period of time and then it's gone. Or it fails. And tonight, guys, is, I guess, in keeping with the little bit of change that we're doing here this evening and the way the service goes, but I want to very pointedly give you an opportunity before God, before man, to experience what we've been talking about. To experience that resurrection power. The worship team is going to come up here in a moment as when I pray, and And they're going to lead us in a song of worship. And as they play, I'm extending an invitation to each one of you this evening. If you want to pray with someone, if you want to pray with someone and ask Jesus to transform your life for the very first time, if you want to ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior and be your Lord, you come on up. If you want, if perhaps the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now, that while you may be a child of God, perhaps you've been living more like that prodigal child that I was talking about, that prodigal son, and you need to return to your Father. You need to come back. Then I invite you as well to kind of slip out from where you're at and come up front and pray with someone so we can pray for you and pray with you about these things that are so near and dear to the Lord's heart. We would love to pray with you this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for all that You have done. Thank You for the death and the resurrection of Your Son. Father, help us to be overwhelmed with the understanding that it was our sin that put Him on the cross. Help us to be overwhelmed with the fact that You've never stopped pursuing us. And Lord, help us to take that step toward You, because You have been coming after us our whole lives and have never stopped loving us. Holy Spirit, do Your work in each person's heart in this place. Convict, heal, encourage, strengthen. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.